Read me romance. Read, read me romance. Read me romance. Read, read me romance.
You could take a look in a book, that's fine. Or you could sit back, relax, and unwind and
read me romance. Read, read me romance.
Hey, lady listeners.
Welcome.
What's up? It's your lady DJ. So I did want to tell you, so my friend Katie, she goes to concerts all the time. Like, she is constantly going to shows. And her life motto is, life is short, see the show. Like, and she, I swear to God, she does. I don't know how she manages to, with work and family and whatever. But she's always going to these great concerts, and I'm always like, fuck, she's right. Like, I see, you know, her going to these shows and all these awesome bands she's seeing. I'm like, man, and she goes by herself. I'm like, God, that's so inspiring. Like, I should do that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there's always that one person at a concert by themselves, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, that is some serious freedom.
But
because
not even-
you don't have to, like, think about... Oh, okay. Should I know the words to this? Is the person I'm with going to, like, judge me if I don't know this song?
Do you want to go closer? Do you want to sit down? Do you want to stand up?
Am I dancing weird? Can I just go to the bathroom whenever I feel like it and go get a drink?
Are they going to be weird if I stand up and they sit down? Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and you're going to find people around you at that show that love them as much as you do.
I just remembered this night I went to a concert in New York City with, so I worked at a bar when I was 18 until about the time I was 20. And there was a bartender named Shane from Ireland, and him and I went to see, just as friends, went to see a band called Travis, which I don't know.
I do not know who that is.
No. I want to say they're an Irish band. But we were so drunk that afterward, like, we went outside and he laid down his jacket and I tap danced for money outside the concert.
What? Are you serious?
And people were throwing
wonderful.
People were throwing change onto his jacket and I was just so drunk and, like, loving every second of it.
Oh my God, that sounds amazing. Oh.
Wait, so that same, can I tell you one more story?
Yes,
that
no, I want
same
it.
Guy, that same bartender one night, we were all smoking outside the bar and working, and he had gone to a Rolling Stones concert earlier that night, and he shows up, we're all standing outside smoking, and he stumbles up on the sidewalk holding a giant tree branch with the root still attached.
What?
And he had no idea how he got it or where he got it.
What?
Just trailing this giant tree branch behind him with, like, this giant clump of,
like,
dirt
root ball?
And roots attached. Yeah.
I want to know where this guy is now.
I know, right?
Where is
What's he
now?
Up to? What's this guy doing
so many,
with his life?
He's a chef now in Dublin, I think. But so many weird things happened outside that bar. Like, actually, the night a book, like a Harry Potter, was released.
Yeah.
We were all standing outside smoking again, and one of the Harry Potter books was released. I want to say it was the second one or the third one. I don't know what year it was. But all of a sudden, this giant group of wizards, like kids dressed like wizards, flying around the corner, running across the street.
So
it was a Borders across the street. And just scaring the shit out of us. Because I think the book was releasing at midnight. And so
they had midnight release parties.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. Well, I was going to say, one of my experiences like that at a concert was when I went with LB. She got me tickets to see Sister Hazel. And I don't know if I've talked about this. Maybe I have. But so we were at this venue, and afterwards we had gone out, we'd gone to the bathroom, and somehow we got turned around and we went out a side door, and we were coming out the back, and then we see the band board their bus. And I was like, oh shit, yes. And I run up to the bus and I, like, slap the driver's side. You know, it's just a wall of glass. I slap it. I'm like, bam, 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 bam. And I go, this show was awesome. And I turn around and I scissor kick in the air. I'm like, chick, in my feet. Like, Cherry O'Terry from SNL, like the cheerleader thing that she does.
Oh, my God.
I just kicked my feet in the air, and LB's just standing there. And that was amazing. It was kind of wonderful. It was like Cherry O'Terry from SNL. Do you remember that skit she used to do with Will Ferrell, where they were, like, cheerleaders? It was that kind of kick where I just jumped. Yes, the Spartans. I jumped straight up, and I just kicked my feet real fast. And I turned around, and LB was like, you're an idiot, let's go. And, like, but the band started laughing, like, they were getting on the bus and they were all laughing and stuff, and I was like, yeah. I remember I was wearing plaid pants, like a plaid, like a bell bottoms, and I was wearing a shirt that said get your learn on,
and I had short red hair. Like, oh my that God. Was a different time in my life, okay? It was a long time ago.
Did I ever tell you guys about the time I went up on a stage at a concert, a Santigold concert?
What? A Santigold?
Do you know Santigold?
No. What is that?
She's a singer.
No.
I want to say it's like, I don't know what kind of style, like hip hop maybe, I think what I would call it. Yeah. We were in Dublin at the Button Factory and she called people up on stage and my brother-in-law and his girlfriend will tell everybody that I climbed over people and like pulled hair to get on stage, but that's not true.
I don't believe you.
But I was up there dancing and like literally 30 other people, but I scissor kicked like
you. Yes!
And then she pulled me up to the microphone and I got to sing like 2 lines of the song with her.
Oh, that's so fucking cool.
It was
cool.
Really cool. It's on YouTube actually. I can show it to you.
I want to see that. My You're going to need to post that in headquarters.
Okay.
That's amazing.
You'll be able to see my scissor kick and everything.
Yes! Yeah. I love it.
I'll show it to you. I think if you go to YouTube and you search Santigold Button Factory, I mean, there might be a few videos, but I'll find the right one.
So speaking of concerts, I'm going to see Lizzo on Friday and I'm so excited about it. I tried to get Mel to come with me, but she doesn't want to.
And you told me like last weekend.
I know.
Like 2 seconds before.
I know.
And then I'm like, I don't even like concerts.
But this is Lizzo. Do you know, my friend, she's really pregnant. And she's like, I don't know, like she's, you know, she's getting up there. I think she's like 30 weeks pregnant. It's really hot still here. And this is an outdoor concert. And she's like.
Oh, I noticed you didn't tell me that.
I know,
you left that out.
I definitely didn't tell you that. Absolutely. You left that out. So she told me last night we were having dinner and she's like, God, what happens if I like give birth at this concert? I was like, are you shitting me? I was like, this beautiful baby girl would be welcomed into the arms of a powerhouse of women with the most positive vibes ever on the face of this earth. And this one, like, it would be such a loving, amazing birth experience. Can you imagine the positivity of these women? Like, just loving you, loving your baby, giving birth at this, like, you know, beautiful concert.
Everybody would stop.
No epidural.
Help,
yeah.
It's a girl,
but
too.
There's no epidural.
I know, right? Yeah, there's no epidural.
I need my epidural.
But I was like, we would talk you through this. Lizzo would be like your coach through this. You got it.
From the stage.
Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to see her.
Okay. So are you going with a friend or are you going by yourself?
Yeah. So I'm going with a couple of friends. But I had the one ticket was for the pregnant friend and I don't think she's going to come. So that's why I told Mel she should come. It's okay. I have plenty of people I can ask to fill in. But I know Mel likes Lizzo and I thought it would be a fun experience to go together. But yeah, it's outdoors. And I did not mention that to her on purpose.
I just don't like concerts. It's hard enough to get, like, the one thing that I will go to that's jam-packed is football games.
Yeah.
And I'll only do, like, one a year.
Excellent segue, because
I was just
going
to say. Yep.
We're here for, I don't even, what did I decide to call this? The Football Pants Chronicles?
The Football Pants Chronicles,
yeah.
I love that cover. It's just his junk.
Oh, his so nice big bulge.
I forgot about this.
To, like, clarify, we're here for fan fiction that I wrote about J.J. Watt called The Football Pants Chronicles. That's what we're going to play for you this week. When we were designing the cover, we found, like, a really good stock photo of a man in football pants, but the bulge left a little bit to be desired, so
it was
had
flat.
The,
it was it was completely
it.
No. It was funny.
She was all like, "I was going to, but I wasn't sure if you'd want."
I know
to.
That was what was so
we
funny.
Like,
is
yes,
Mel
yes,
like?
Yes. But the first one she sent us was too much.
Yeah,
we're like, whoa.
It was like Goldilocks with the three bulges.
It was.
I was like, this one's just right. And we finally found one that was like tasteful. Tasteful,
I like the big one.
Different.
I'll be honest.
Tasteful.
The big
tasteful
bulge was beautiful.
And that's what we went with. Yeah, this is fan fiction about J.J. Watt. So did you guys bring... Oh, and I'll just say, if you don't know who he is, he plays for the Houston Texans. He's like this giant man, this giant blonde-haired, like, big-toothed, blue-eyed
so
man.
Sweet.
Yeah.
So sweet.
He's
so
sweet.
He's so sweet.
He
gets everybody.
Yeah. He, like, you know, when there was the floods in Houston, he went... And, like, did a bunch of charity work and helped rebuild houses. And he's just a good guy all around. And I really like him. And he's, like, a fan favorite among my little group of readers. So mm-hmm. I wrote this fan fiction for them. But we wanted to do some football recommendations. Did you guys have any?
Yes.
I went and I had to search a little bit because it's been a while since I read a football book. But I went and I found three, depending on what you want. So if you want NFL, my pick was The Perfect Play by Jackie Burton.
Oh, J.C. Burton. Yeah, J.C. Burton.
Yeah, J.C. Burton.
I have that one on here.
Has anybody read that one?
I have that on my list. Fuck you.
That cover. Whew.
She comes out with some really good ones.
Yeah. He's like a playboy at first, and then he meets her, and that just all stops. And he meets this single mom who has a teenage son, and he just falls head over heels for her.
Ooh.
And just, you know, so that one's really cute. I did not have a high, like a college one, because I don't read new adult much. But I asked Polly, who always has great recs, and she recommended Sweet Home by Tilly Cole, which I've heard great things about.
Sweet
so
Home?
She recked it. Yeah, Sweet Home.
Yeah.
So if she wrecked it to me, that means any AR listeners should love it. Mm-hmm. And then for high school, I went with Ella Goody, since she was just on. She did Ace of Heart, and that has high school football in it. So I got all three. So whichever you prefer.
Awesome.
Because I know everybody likes different football. Like, I don't like college, but Leah loves college. So. Yeah.
I prefer college football.
You did your homework.
I did my homework.
You did your homework. I'm proud of you.
I like that. Well done.
I did it this morning, but I did it.
Leah, what about you? Do you have any football recs, Leah?
Okay, because I had a J.C. Burton recommendation too, and I can't remember what the name of it was. So, well, there's a couple I wanted to, the first one I wanted to recommend, I've read this one and I love it, but the book's kind of pricey. So if you have like Amazon credit or, you know, if you, anything like that, it's Anything for the Game by Bella Andre. She actually writes really contemporary romances, longer books, but she's really talented. I just love her writing. She's really, really good. She was one of the first like big authors I read in romance that wasn't self-published, and she just like took me away. And then she has another one called Game for Love, and that one's $4.99, so that one is a little bit more, and I think that one's are a little bit less in cost. I think that one is like 300 pages. I think it's still like pretty hefty for the price point. But my recommendation for the J.C. Burton was Playing to Win, because it's an audio and it's really, really good. I don't know if it's part of the Audible Escape. I didn't see if it's on there, but I know it is an audio. And then the other one is Play With Me by Kristen Proby. That one's $3.99 and it's on Audible Escape too. So
Polly recommended that one.
Yeah,
too.
I love that book. I read that a long time ago and it's really, really good. That one, like, I think I even got the description of it. If you don't know the description on the Audible Escape, if you're not familiar with it, I've looked into it. I'll use regular Audible because I downloaded a ton of mysteries. But I think Audible Escape is actually really good because it's unlimited listening in romance books and it's $6.95 a month. So, you know, with regular Audible, it's like $20 a month and you get a credit. Well, it's like it's free the first month with Audible Escape and then it's $6.95 after that. And it says if you're an Audible member, it's $6.95. If you don't have Audible already, it's $12.95 a month, but it's unlimited listening. So it's not just one credit. You can listen to as much as you want to any books that are in the romance package. So I actually thought that was a really good deal. See, I have the book bio for the Bella Andre one that I love. I want to read the, okay. Game for Love that's the one I said was $4.99. It's on Audible too. That's the other benefit of the Bella Andre books. It says, book description. In a relationship built on lies, the only truth is their feelings for each other. To fulfill his grandmother's dying wish, linebacker Cole Taylor must find and marry a good girl. First grade teacher Anna Davis fits the bill perfectly. Their deal is simple. If she'll be his temporary wife, he'll give her more pleasure than she ever imagined was possible. Only love is the ultimate game changer.
Aww.
Yeah, I love a good marriage of convenience too.
I do too.
Yeah, those were definitely my recommendations for football books though. Let me see if I can look up The Play With Me by Kristen Proby because I really love that one.
So while you're doing that, I have a story about... I didn't actually bring any football recs, but I have a couple of things to recommend.
I have some things
to recommend, though.
Well, I was going to say, I actually was going to recommend a football movie. I was like, let me look up football romance movies. And the first one that came up was Varsity Blues. And I was like, fuck off. That's not a romance. And then,
well, it is a little bit, because he's the second string quarterback. James Vanderbeek is the second string quarterback, and he's dating... kind of like,
but he cheats on her with the high school slut.
No, I think they just kiss.
They just kiss, but then still, he gets her back.
Yeah,
yeah. But he, you know, he becomes the first string quarterback, and then he becomes like, I don't want your life.
Whipped cream bikini, who can resist it. I know. Okay, well, I have the Kristen Proby one for Play With Me. This is the With Me in Seattle book 3, but it can be read as a standalone. It's just the With Me in Seattle series is all about, like, brothers and sisters. So, Will Montgomery is a successful professional football player and seemingly has it all. He's not used to being told no and certainly doesn't take no for an answer. So when he turns his charm on his sister's sexy rocker chick friend, Meg, he's not only turned down, but met with open hostility, piquing his curiosity and his libido. He's determined to show her that he's not only the arrogant jock she thinks he is, and to get her into his bed. Megan McBride is not impressed with Will Montgomery, his fat contract, fancy car, or his arrogant public persona. She doesn't have time for relationships, and if she's learned anything in life, it's that loving means losing. So she guards her heart ferociously, but she can't deny the overwhelming attraction to the sexy tattooed athlete. And when Will starts breaking down her defenses and grabs hold of her heart, will she be able to admit her feelings for him, or will her troubled past cause her to lose the first man she's ever truly loved?
Nice.
Yeah, that's a really, really good one. That one I read, I mean, I want to say this one came out in probably like 2016, maybe? 2013. I read it that long ago, and I still remember, that was one of my first ones I pulled up when you said recommendations. Oh, definitely that. So
that's the year I became an author.
Oh, yay!
Yeah, 2013. Okay, so first I want to tell you a story about my health class in high school was coached by the varsity basketball coach, Coach Tarantino. We call him Coach T, and he was the funniest dude from Long Island ever. Mm-hmm. And this is in California, so like, he had the Long Island accent from Oyster Bay, and I didn't, you know, I didn't live here yet, obviously, so it was very exotic to me.
Oh, yeah.
But he had to like, teach a class because to coach a team, you have to coach a class teach a class. So he taught health. He would basically turn on the football movie Rudy every single day and then go to sleep.
What?
Yes.
Are you fucking serious?
Nope. It was the greatest thing ever. He would turn the lights off. The second we got into class, he would turn on Rudy. We never made it past the 45-minute mark. It would just be the first 45 minutes every day.
He wasn't even bothering with fast-forwarding.
Nope. 45 minutes. And then everybody would... there was like these modular classrooms while they were doing like building an actual extension on the school. So they were like portable classrooms and they were on the ground level. So we would just slide open the window and everybody would take turns jumping out the window.
Are you serious? And do what?
Taking off. Leaving.
And just leaving. What?
Yeah. And then 45 minutes, the lights would come on. There'd be like 3 people left. And you'd be like, see you tomorrow.
I love that. I love how little effort that is.
Wonderful.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was the greatest.
I saw a meme one time that was like that. It was like, yeah, sure, let's study about health and science, but can we get a class on how to manage a checkbook or like how to open a 401k? You know, they're like, are there classes we can actually take that are going to benefit us in life? And I was like,
I don't understand any of it. Like, I have a 401k and I don't even understand it. Like, I'm just throwing money in this thing every once in a while. Like, what's it doing for me? I barely get it.
I was in finance for a long time. If you want to talk about this afterwards, I can walk you through it.
Yeah.
I can give you some good tips.
That would be nice. Okay, so the other thing I wanted to tell you is, recommend is Friday Night Lights. Have you guys watched the TV show Friday Night Lights?
No.
I have.
Have you really?
You have?
Did you like it?
Yeah.
I've heard people love it.
God, it's been so long. But yeah, I remember having a huge crush on that one guy.
You will love this show.
Really?
Yes.
Then I'm definitely not going to watch it. If somebody tells me I'm going to love it, I'm going to go against it.
First of all, nobody's watching it right now. You'd be the only one.
Oh, okay.
You'd be the only one in the world.
I'll be the last to the party.
Connie Britton and Kyle Chandler are the, like, he's the coach of a football team. Yeah, they're the main couple. Connie Britton is a revelation, like in anything she does.
I love her.
And I feel like she kind of reminds me of you a little bit, Leah.
Actually. Oh, really? Okay, I'll take that compliment.
Yeah. Just like a take charge woman, but also has a good sense of humor.
Yeah.
And like values herself.
Uh-huh.
But then he's the new coach of this like football team in Texas, and then this town, football is the only thing that matters. And there's all this high school drama and all this romance and like It is addicting and amazing. And yeah.
And watching, I think I liked watching the kids grow up.
Yes.
Like, they literally, like, matured. Like, even the boys, they grew up and mature and became better. Some of them started off as real dicks. And you know what
Can I
mean?
Can I watch just this growing on up Netflix? In general. Is it on Netflix?
Probably.
Well, I think, so this big, a huge event happens in the first episode. Uh-huh. That changes the course of everything. That's all I'm going to tell you. I don't want to tell you what it okay. is. But yeah, Timmy Riggins is who you're talking about, right? That you had a crush on, Mel?
Probably the longer hair.
Yeah, Taylor Kitsch is the actor and he plays Timmy
Riggins.
Oh, I like
Taylor Kitsch.
Oh, he's so... This is where he peaked.
Oh, wow, really?
During the show. Yeah, sorry. Battleship wasn't as good as this show.
Oh.
But he is so good in this show. And you just... root for him so much.
Okay.
So if you haven't watched Friday Night Lights, the TV show, it's probably on Netflix or something. You should go read it.
Okay. So tell me about the Football Pants Chronicles and how you got to this scenario. Like, how did you end up here?
How did I end up here? Well, I wanted to write fan fiction about J.J. Watt. And then I had this like scenario in my head of
Explain to people what fan fiction is. Let's start there. So, like, you know, a lot of people kind of know what it is, but tell me why someone would want to write this.
Just because, like, you kind of want to know what's happening in somebody, like, that you admire, like, their personal life. You kind of would like to know what's happening with them. And so you don't, and you can't, so you make it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least in my case, like, most fan fiction is about, like, fictional characters. Like, I actually looked some up before... we started recording, and there's literally fan fiction for every movie that you've ever watched. Mostly yeah. Star Wars. Star Wars seems to be the number one.
Well, it seems because there's so many different threads you could go off of based on that show. It's kind of the same thing with Harry Potter, is some of it's left open and you don't really know, and there's a lot of side characters. It's the same thing with Star Wars. People will take like this one side character and then just obsess over like their life and writing.
There's fan fiction. Okay, is there like a movie or a situation in the Harry Potter book where there's a giant squid?
Yeah.
Okay, because there's fan fiction where that squid makes it into Hogwarts and does sexual things to everybody. There is fan fiction where
that
happens.
Well, it's only alluded to in the basement. I think it's like the Slytherin is in the basement. And somebody is, like, there's something that's alluded to very lightly about there's a squid, like... through there, like they can see through there, like they can, it's like they can see underwater because they're next to the pond or whatever. So
I'm not recommending that. I don't know what age the children are when this happens or if they're like 18 or 19 or what, yeah. What's happening. I haven't read it, but okay. I was looking up the weirdest fan fiction.
And that's one of them, huh?
And that's one of them. So it starts off where he is like signing autographs in the hallway. He's like, it's after a game and he's in the hallway going to the locker room and a woman like sneaks mm-hmm. in. She snuck in past the guards to get an autograph from her grandfather. And he just falls for her like at first sight, but she can't be in a relationship. It's because she's an alcoholic.
Oh no.
Yeah. That's the truth.
Okay.
So, it just like brought it down so deep.
No, I want to know what happens. Okay, so.
She's an alcoholic and she doesn't want to hurt his career because okay. she did, yeah, she, you know, she had a few wild years and she's yeah. like, I'm not doing this. Like, I don't want to hurt your image.
Oh, I like that.
And he doesn't care, obviously. So, but it was on my heart to write about an alcoholic. And I think that it's like very rarely the heroine that has the fall like that. So
absolutely. Yeah, it is. So now in the book, do you call him JJ?
No. Shit. What do I call him?
It doesn't matter. I just wondered if you called him JJ. Okay.
It's AJ Lott.
Oh, okay. I like that. AJ's close enough.
Okay, so let's see. Do you guys remember that book that came out? I want to say it was like 5 years ago. It was really controversial. It was called A Gronking to Remember.
A what? A Gronking? No.
Okay, so it was really controversial because somebody put out a book called A Gronking to Remember.
Uh-huh.
About Ron Gron. It was fan fiction about Rob Gronkowski from the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
But
he wrote a book too.
What?
He wrote a book.
He did? Of romance?
Yes. Yes.
No.
Maybe yes. Because of this, he did.
He didn't write it. But he, so this book was controversial because she put his picture on the cover.
Oh my God.
And didn't license the picture. Jesus. So like, you can't do that. So now you can actually still get it on Amazon. I just looked it up this morning, but it's like, it's a hand-drawn picture. It's a stock picture of a couple, and then it's a hand-drawn picture of Rob Gronkowski in the background. And it's called A Gronking to Remember. And I kind of want it
just to see it.
I looked up the...
I'm shocked he just didn't let her have it. Like, with all the publicity, him, he would be like, all right, have it. Yeah. But...
So I looked at I got a sample sent to me of the book. You want me to read the first page?
Yes.
Okay. I'll never forget the first time I saw Gronk spike a football. It changed my life forever. The unrivaled power of his touchdown dance, the Gronk, it jettisoned jiggling ribbons of electric jelly through my body and melted my knees like two pads of margarine, turned me on quicker and made me wetter than any other time in my life besides my wedding night. Who, I said, walking all the way into the den from the kitchen, getting a drink after an intense sewing session that had left my hands pleasantly sore, and stood behind the couch. Who, what, my husband Dan asked with a peevish tone in his voice. Wifey no speaky during man smashy time.
What the fuck?
I love it. Who's that, I said, the guy who just did that football throwdown thing. Come on, Lee, that's Gronk, one of Dan's friends shouted from across the room. I laughed. Gronk? It was such a weird word, like something a caveman would say. But the name made sense with what I saw on the gigantic flat-screen TV over the fireplace. What's a Gronk? I asked. Gronkowski, Dan said. Rob Gronkowski. So anyways, it goes on to where she has a fantasy of him spiking the football in her butt.
What? Are you serious?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my God.
So I don't feel like I should condone the purchase of this because, like, yes, like, again, she did the unlicensed picture thing. And I'm not making fun of the writing at all, by the way. I think, you know, it's just as good as anything. But I, yeah.
You think there might be some.
If that turns you on, you should go check it out. He does spike a football on her butt. Yeah.
I swore he wrote an erotic book, but I cannot find it. Maybe he took it down, but I could have swore on my life he did.
I'm sure he did. It's a follow-up.
Well, there's two. I think this one has a sequel as well, but I can't remember what it's. I didn't see the title anywhere.
You didn't want to do this one.
So anyways, that's my football. Those are my football recommendations.
I love Rudy, it.
Friday Night Lights and the Gronkowski.
I'm glad we did the work on this, Tessa. I'm glad we did the work. You're welcome. We did the heavy lifting this week.
Okay, so without further ado, let's play the first installment of the Football Pants Chronicles by me, Tessa Bailey, and we'll catch up with you guys on the other side. Bye.
Bye.
The Football Pants Chronicles by Tessa Bailey. Chapter 1. Her voice was what hooked him. A.J. Lott halted mid-tunnel on his way to the field, pushing his helmet up so it rested on top of his head. Nothing appeared out of the ordinary at first. Photographers and journalists, his fellow teammates bashing each other on the back as they hustled toward the second half. A.J. should have been following suit. But that voice, where had it come from? Excuse me. There it was again, coming from much further below, which fit, considering that musical, feminine tone moved something deep in his belly, as if the voice's owner was speaking directly to his middle. Who? AJ dropped his head forward, and a sudden lack of gravity almost pulled him the rest of the way down. Behind a pair of tortoise-shell-rimmed glasses, green eyes stared back in sheer terror. And maybe it was stupid, but he thought removing his helmet might calm the voice owner down, so he took it off and promptly dropped it with a loud thunk onto the concrete floor, sending green eyes leaping backwards, the exact opposite of what he'd intended. It was too confusing to explain, but he needed the girl to come closer. Needed it kind of bad. He held out his hands. I'm sorry.
Why? Okay. It's okay.
Green Eyes shook her head as if frustrated, allowing a few strands of chocolate brown hair to escape her low ponytail. Holy hell, she was pretty. In a please ignore the pretty kind of way.
Are you AJ Lott?
Only if I'm not in trouble. One corner of her mouth lifted, but her eyebrows dipped, like she was trying to solve a puzzle.
Great.
She held out a football and a Sharpie, which muscle memory had him reaching for without hesitation.
Would you please sign this?
Of course. He uncapped the Sharpie with his teeth, and then realized that was both rude and disgusting. Unfortunately, with both hands full, removing the cap required some juggling. Or it would have, if Green Eyes didn't reach up and tug it from between his teeth. Just the tip of her thumb brushed his lower lip and, oh God, his groin stiffened.
Not good. Not good at all in tight football pants. This was so not a typical halftime.
I hope you don't mind if I ask. How did you get in here?
Not that I mind. I do not mind.
Lord, why couldn't he talk to women?
Especially now when, unexplainably, it seemed to matter like hell. Mostly, he was just curious why someone who hadn't even recognized him wanted a ball signed. Something the players usually did before the game, not during.
Green Eyes shifted in her knee-high galoshes.
I just kind of slipped in, behind someone carrying an orange barrel full of Gatorade.
She whispered, a flush creeping up her neck.
They didn't even notice me.
Damn, he liked them having a secret together. I'm noticing you now. Her soft expulsion of breath made him replay his words, followed by a rough shove of the football against his forehead.
That sounded creepier than I intended.
It's fine.
Somehow, the girl looked uncomfortable when he was the one making a giant ass of himself.
You're so big, I bet you never just slip in anywhere. Unnoticed, I mean. Oh God, that sounded...
And AJ couldn't help but throw his head back on a booming laugh, one that quieted the reporters and trainers stomping down the hallway, turning their heads in his direction.
You just said that so I'd feel better about being creepy, right?
No,
she said, squeezing her eyes closed.
I'm not that smooth.
I'll bet you would be smooth. Smooth under my palms, against my thighs.
Football pants, man.
In the distance, a buzzer pealed, reminding him he had a football game to win. Reminded? When had he ever managed to forget his responsibilities? His coach was probably about ready to send out a search party, but AJ couldn't just walk away from this girl. Get her information, ordered his brain.
Who is the autograph for?
Nice one.
My grandfather is a big fan. This is going to mean so much to him. Thank you.
She stepped forward and took the football from AJ's hands, giving him a nose full of heaven. What did she smell like? Warm pink sugar or something. And wow, he was actually losing his mind. He lost it a little further when she gave him a grateful smile and started to walk away. Just like that?
Wait, AJ shouted.
Then quieter,
just please wait.
Some kind of shadow moved across her eyes as she glanced back. Something that told him she knew what he wanted and wasn't prepared to give it.
Lot, what the fuck?
AJ sighed at the eloquent intrusion via their defensive coordinator. He held out a staying hand to Green Eyes. Wait. And turned to address the man sent to bring him out onto the field.
1 minute. I just need 1 minute.
But when he turned back, she was gone. Vanished. His bellow of denial would be captured by an ESPN camera and speculated on throughout the following week. Not that AJ cared. He only cared about the uncapped Sharpie still clutched in his hand. An address label stuck to the body,
beneath the words, Lizzie Dixon, mobile vet. Battling the urge to go after Green Eyes, Lizzie, despite having a way of finding her, AJ stuffed the implement into his sock and jogged toward the field, suddenly anxious for tomorrow.
Chapter 2. Lizzie set down her aluminum box of medical tools on the hall entry table, but paused halfway through removing her rain jacket. Male laughter, the loud, rollicking good time kind, very unlike her elderly grandfather's thin chuckle. Although his was there, too, it collided with the cannon fire of the first laugh and blasted out to greet her. Before Lizzie stepped through the archway, she knew A.J. Lott would be in her home. One didn't forget the potency of that rich, masculine sound, or the way it spread goosebumps along her neck and tightened her nipples. What she couldn't fathom was why or how. But those questions faded into thin air when Lizzie observed the scene taking place in her living room. Her grandfather sat in his usual easy chair, remote control in hand. Familiar old black-and-white game film played on the television, the only evidence of his beloved college football career. AJ took up the couch, like the entire damn couch. But that's not what had Lizzie's hands pressing to her cheeks. No, it was the rapt expression on the massive athlete's face, which she could see in profile. The huge grin. The way he leaned over and fist-bumped her grandfather after he made a good play 60 years in the past. A joyful little hiccup tripped past her lips, and the whole room seemed to shift, mainly because AJ stood up. His left leg bumped the coffee table and upended the entire piece of heavy wooden furniture, spewing coasters across the carpeted floor. Oh, God. He seemed unsure of whether to greet her or fix the table, so he performed an awkward, ropeless tug of war for a few seconds before crouching down to right it. "Well, that happened exactly as I planned it," he muttered, before straightening back to his full height, red beginning to appear on his granite-carved face. "Hey there, Lizzie." "Hey," she whispered. Her grandfather, finally having made it to his feet, gestured to the mountainous football player. "Lizzie, would you look who's in our living room?" "Yes," Lizzie responded, aiming for Bright, but landing on Breathless instead. "He's hard to miss." Cringe. It was official. Something about this man, who couldn't be further from her type, turned her into a simpering bozo. She'd never been tongue-tied in front of the opposite sex before. Why would she, when she hadn't had use for men in years? No, she stated her business, rebuffed advances, and moved on. Easy. There was nothing easy about staring up at this veritable Everest, who'd probably just made her grandfather's life, and behaving with her usual aplomb. Not when she could actually see the pulse in his big neck racing as he stared, waiting for her to talk. Racing for her. Lizzie mentally shook herself and pushed her glasses higher up the bridge of her nose. "AJ, can I speak with you, please?" She backed up into the foyer. In my office. Good Lord, the man had to duck to get through the archway. His shadow engulfed her as they creaked down the hallway toward her office. Under her breath, she practiced her speech. "I appreciate you spending time with my grandfather. Thank you for coming, but I'm not interested." Yes, that was perfect. Polite, but cool. That was how she rolled now. AJ entered the office behind Lizzie, and she closed the door, taking a deep breath, ready to launch into her speech. But AJ spoke first.
"I know this isn't the conventional way of doing things."
He made that same, I mean no harm, hand gesture from the stadium tunnel, but let them drop on a frustrated sigh.
"I don't think so, anyway."
She jumped him. There really was no other description for getting a three-step running start and leaping just high enough to hook both legs around his tree trunk waist. and there might have been the tiniest scrap of common sense left in her head, but it vanished when their lips interlocked, and he let out a single jungle-style rumbling groan into her mouth. Powerful arms banded around her, cradling Lizzie's body in a way that reminded her of King Kong holding his tiny blonde heroine. And wow, they hadn't even really kissed yet, simply trading breaths, Lizzie aligning her curves with his packed ranges of muscle. Before reality could intrude, she tangled her fingers in his hair and kissed the hell out of his rough, masculine mouth. And oh boy, AJ responded. His tongue licked into Lizzie's mouth, a rush of air panting out through his nose, like a primed bull who'd been let out of his pen. Lizzie sensed them turning a split second before her back slammed against the wall, making her gasp into the kiss. AJ pulled away.
"I'm sorry, sweetheart," he panted. "I train for bursts of speed," and
she yanked his mouth back down, enjoying the sensation of being flattened between two unforgiving barriers, the vibration of godlike strength, clearly capable of hours of endurance, bearing her weight with no effort. His mouth was ravenous, slanting over hers as if he might die if she walked away unsatisfied. Lizzie was reaching the point of no return, visions of panty removal dancing in her head. He'd rip them, she thought, right off her. And then he'd apologize. And then, oh, he'd be aggressive. Wow, this had to stop before she did something she regretted, or her past caused something unfortunate to happen. And it would. It was inevitable. "Thank you," she breathed, ripping her mouth away, "for coming here, doing what you did." She laid her forehead against his collarbone and closed her eyes. "But I really need you to go now, AJ."
Chapter 3. Had Lizzie just told him to go? That couldn't be right, though. She was wrapped around him like a wet blanket. Heck, AJ was pretty sure her little feet were tucked in the back pockets of his jeans, which kind of made him want to fall asleep with her under an apple tree. Or something. Where did these thoughts keep coming from? "Where do you want me to go, Lizzie?" "Hell?" Their lips made the barest contact, but red-hot pressure flooded his cock. "Hell is where I'm going if I stop kissing you."
"Oh."
Her fingers curled into his shirt collar. "Stop saying things like that. I don't know how to stop anything I'm doing right now." Honesty poured out in the form of a rasp. "Pressing as close as I can without hurting you. French kissing that blush out of you. How am I going to stop all that?" Her green eyes slayed him right where he stood.
"Please?"
she murmured. That did it. AJ's instincts might have been wailing like a fire alarm, telling him to beg and plead for a few minutes more of Lizzie's sugar-sweet mouth. But by all that was holy, he'd been taught manners, a respect for women he took seriously. So when he eased back and let Lizzie drop to her feet, his lower body ached like it was on fire, but at least he could look his mother in the eye at Thanksgiving. Lizzie slipped out from beneath AJ, her absence making his hands ball into fists against the wall. "Setting you down when you were cradling my... God, that was hard enough, sweetheart." It sounded as if he'd just sprinted 100 yards. "I can't leave without some kind of explanation, though. Did I come on too strong? That tends to be a problem for me with most things." He turned from the wall to see Lizzie leaning against her desk. Two fingers were pressed to her mouth, but she quickly removed them when she saw him watching.
"This week in the newspaper, it was everywhere. AJ Lott is looking for a girlfriend."
She shook her head.
"If you're thinking it's me, it's not. It can't be."
Okay, she was right about the articles, but she didn't know he'd been misquoted. In actuality, he'd said, "I'm searching for a girl," namely Lizzie, who had, unfortunately, relocated since sticking that address label to the Sharpie she'd left behind. Being 6'5", 300 pounds didn't make discreetly questioning her former neighbors about her new location easy. He'd been set back a couple days during the search, mostly by little kids who'd asked him to play touch football in the street, and kids tended to get whatever they wanted on his watch. Too bad he couldn't tell any of this to Lizzie. She already didn't want to be his girlfriend. Cluing her into his days-long quest for the green-eyed goddess who'd crawled beneath his skin, well, it seemed like an all-around bad idea. For now. Okay, I can see the girlfriend thing has you spooked, so let's start over. He scratched the back of his neck, wishing he'd just kept his big mouth shut around the media. I'd be honored if you'd go on a date with me. We can just be AJ and Lizzie, eating steak. Her lips twitched.
I'm a vegetarian. Kind of par for the course when you work with farm animals all day.
Well, it's been good knowing you, Lizzie, AJ joked, pretending to head out the door. When he turned back, she looked so stricken he covered the distance between them in two giant steps and grasped her shoulders, knocking over a cup of pencils in the process. Hey, I was kidding, sweetheart. Ask anyone. I don't go away easily. He winked. Maybe you can order a steak and I can just eat them both. She laughed, but it sounded kind of dazed.
I'm sorry this can't work, she said on a head shake. You're kind of great.
Gravity descended, rooting him to the ground. The time for jokes had ended. Something was wrong here, and fixing it was the only option, seeing as walking out of Lizzie's life made him feel like lying down and never getting up again. Tell me why it can't work out. Taking a chance, he leaned in and kissed her forehead. I was booed on draft day by everyone in Texas, Lizzie. I'm built for challenges. His heart flip-flopped when she scowled over him being booed on draft day. She sighed, and the frown faded away, but his heart just kept on flip-flopping.
I'm not the girl your family or your fans want for you.
Okay, AJ responded carefully. Let's pretend for a second this is about anyone but you and me, which it isn't. He almost got distracted simply by having her rapt attention, but forced himself to focus on fixing the problem. Why wouldn't everyone see what I see? A girl who loves her grandfather so much she trespasses to get a ball autographed. A girl who helps sick animals all day, even if she gets called out in the middle of the night. Who wouldn't love that girl?
How did you know I get called in the middle of the night?
AJ felt red creep over his ears. Might have asked your grandfather 1 or 10 things about you in between game films. When a smile slipped onto her lips, he breathed out a sigh. Spend the day with me tomorrow, Lizzie. I don't have to travel for an away game until next week.
My nephew's birthday party is tomorrow,
she said absently. But the fact she hadn't answered with an outright no not only gave him hope, it gave him a win. Is he a Texan fan?
Yes.
Her chin dropped in an adorable way.
You would just show up?
Yes, I would. And give me one good reason why I shouldn't do everything I can to take out the girl who's had my stomach in big old knots for days. He couldn't help it another second. He eased closer, brushing his thumb over her bottom lip. The girl who's got it in even worse knots right now. Her lids concealed the green of her eyes for a few seconds before they lifted. She sucked in a breath.
My parents left me with my grandfather when I was 17, and I had a couple of bad years, acting out, getting into trouble with the wrong people.
She reached over and took something off her desk, holding it out to him.
A pin? I'm 6 years sober this month.
AJ didn't know what he'd been expecting, but that hadn't been it. When he thought of people attending those kinds of meetings, he didn't picture young, beautiful, wide-eyed veterinarians who cared for their grandfather full-time. Maybe he should have been more open-minded. Starting now, he would be, if for no other reason than to keep this girl from pushing him away. His reaction was important as hell to her. AJ could see that screwing up his one chance to reassure her would mean a wall between them, and he couldn't abide that. No way in hell. Taking the sides of Lizzie's face in his hands, he kissed her parted mouth, pulling away before lust clobbered him over the head again. Then he leaned over and kissed her pin, lingering there a few seconds. "I'll see you tomorrow at that party, Lizzie Dixon."
Chapter 4. Clearly, AJ didn't understand why she couldn't just give in. Lizzie didn't blame him. Who wouldn't want to be this gentle giant's love-struck lady, cheering him on from the sidelines, draped in the number 99? If things were different, maybe it could be her. But if the media, who hunted down all things AJ Lott like bloodhounds, didn't dig up her past, the past would dig itself up. And this man, the one pretending to be knocked off his size 900 feet by her tiny nephew, while little kids in party hats lined up to take their turn? Yeah, she couldn't force him into a corner or hurt his image. Not a chance. From his sprawled out position in the grass, AJ met Lizzie's eyes through the kitchen window, prompting her, rather ridiculously, to pretend she'd actually been shucking corn. But the jig was up a few minutes later when he entered the otherwise empty kitchen, bracketing her in with both hands braced on the counter. When he spoke, his warm breath hugged the nape of her neck.
"You going to stand there watching me all day or come out and take a turn?"
Her answering laugh came dangerously close to being a giggle. "Would you take it easy on me, too?"
"In the backyard, maybe."
A massive arm snaked around her waist, lifting her body unexpectedly, the hot press of male arousal pushing the cheeks of her bottom apart through the floaty material of her dress.
"But if I've given you the impression I go easy in the bedroom, allow me to clear that up."
Lizzie couldn't catch her breath. I think it's clear."
"You think?"
His gravelly voice made her nerve endings writhe.
"That's not good enough. I need you to know."
She opened her trembling lips to ask how they would accomplish such a thing, but didn't bother when AJ tossed her over his shoulder and strode toward the back of the house. Her mouth remained in an upside-down gape until they cleared the doorway to a guest bedroom, the door snapping shut behind them. Intending to ask what had brought on the caveman act, Lizzie's inquiry turned to a moan instead when AJ let her slide down the front of his outrageously muscled body and backed her toward the bed, onto which she promptly fell, her head tipped all the way back to maintain eye contact with a towering, suddenly formidable AJ. And when he framed her jaw in a hand capable of crushing a concrete block, every single brain cell Lizzie possessed fell south of her waist.
"This big body of mine," his chest shuddered like an earthquake. "It wants to fuck yours, rough and rude. Don't let my good manners give you the wrong impression of that."
Moisture gathered between Lizzie's thighs, such a potent rush that they pressed together reflexively. "Now," she breathed, "I don't think—"
"Not now."
His thumb dragged her lower lip down.
"This isn't the time or place for screaming, sweetheart. And you're going to scream the rafters down."
Without looking, he reached over and locked the door, choking the breath from her lungs.
"Lie back if you want a preview."
Oh my God, where had this side of her gentle giant come from? She didn't like it. Oh no, because she loved it. Or her body loved it, rather, because she was flat on her back before he'd finished issuing the clear challenge. "Count me in," she managed. The bed dipped and groaned beneath AJ's planted knee, the springs protesting as he crawled over Lizzie, perusing her heavy tits, the fingers she'd curled into the comforter. When his meaty palm dragged over her hip, lifting the dress past her waist to her stomach, Lizzie whimpered, twisting the bedspread in her hands.
"I'm going to look inside your panties now," AJ rasped. You want to feel my eyes on your pussy, Lizzie. You want me to judge how hard I'll be able to fuck into it, don't you?
Something about the P and F words coming from this man's usually yes-ma'aming mouth almost shot her into the world's fastest orgasm. But she managed to maintain her state of cataclysmic arousal instead. Yes, I want that. AJ hooked the tip of his thick index finger into the front of Lizzie's low pink thong, tugging it down 1 inch, 2 inches. And the defensive end's growl of approval literally shook the bed. Oh, God. I was just going to give it a lick, but damn. He broke off on a groan, dropping his hips into the cradle of her thighs, rocking forward.
I need to ride this little strip of pink a while. You going to let me, sweetheart? I promise I won't hurt you.
Lizzie's legs scrambled on either side of AJ's mile-wide hips, trying to spread enough to accommodate his size, which they had no choice but to do a moment later when he pressed Lizzie down into the bed. AJ dropped his head down, watching himself dry fuck her barely covered womanhood, his tongue wetting and re-wetting his lips, speed increasing until the bed was bashing up against the opposite wall.
Could you take this kind of impact if I was inside you, sweetheart? Answer me.
Oh my God, who was this man? Yes. Yes. His harsh grunts were the most erotic sounds she'd ever heard. Man-slaking lust, like Goliath might have done with a willing peasant woman before going into battle. What? Her brain had left the building, and the rest of her followed when the stiff denim fly of AJ's jeans found her clit, pumping up and back, his beastly sounds assaulting her ears. Just before she came, AJ reached down and covered her mouth, watching her come apart through heavy-lidded eyes, his palm absorbing her hoarse screams. When she stopped shaking, AJ rolled off her onto his back, making the bed dip. His pants were tented at the fly, and what had to be the world's biggest, most uncomfortable erection, that massive chest swelling up and down like an ocean.
I just needed you to know. I'm not some pushover just because I'm a nice guy.
His gaze found her across the bed.
I fight for what I want. I want to date you. I want to make you a permanent sweating fixture in my bed. And I want to take on anything that might come our way. Am I getting through, Lizzie?
Even with doubt still swirling in her head, she had no choice but to nod. And because it felt right, she reached out and entwined their fingers, melting when the tips of AJ's ears turned red. He seemed as if he had more to say, but a knock on the door had them both sitting up and shifting clothing back into place. Lizzie, came her sister's voice through the door. Your emergency cell phone was ringing, so I answered. A horse farmer named Lonnie said to pass on the message that one of his mares is sick and he needs a vet. Disappointment that she had to leave AJ was tempered by the anxious feeling that came with knowing an animal was under the weather. She turned to the man beside her. I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry,
AJ said, planting a kiss on her mouth.
Bring me with you.
Her mouth lifted into a grin. Okay.
Hey, lady listeners.
Welcome back.
Hey.
Hey.
Tessa, tell us what you got going on this week.
Tell us all your release stuff.
I'm going
to
tell you stuff. Heatstroke is on sale for 99 cents. It's the second book in the Beach Kingdom series, but it can be read as a standalone. It's male-male. I know it's a lot of people. Actually, I had a listener come up to me, and I've known her for a while, but she came up to me and she was like, it's the one book of yours I haven't read. It's just not my thing. And I was like, just read it. Will you try it? And then let me know what you think. And she messaged me a day later and she was like, oh my God, I can't believe it.
You write really good male-male. I think you were one of my first too.
Yeah.
I love your Mau Mau.
Thank you. I challenge you, lady listeners, to give this a try. I think you'll be surprised. So check out Heatstroke. It's on sale for 99 cents. If you sign up for my newsletter this week, you will get the free ebook of Find Her, which if you remember was my story on last season of of Read Me Romance, about the rock star who falls in love with the girl in the front row. Yes. I'm going to give that to my newsletter subscribers for free. So sign up. We'll put that link in the episode description. And I'm doing a giveaway of some Read Me Romance merchandise, including a tote bag and some ear pods. And I'm giving away some signed books as well. So go to readmeromance.com and it'll be on the homepage to enter the giveaway. So, yeah. And were there some new releases that came out today?
There was one, The Misadventures in Blue by Sierra Simone. Did I say her name right?
Yes, you did.
Ah! I did my homework and I said the name right. So, but that's all I have.
All right, good. That's it. We'll be back on Friday with more of the Football Pants Chronicles. It's a really good ending, so don't miss it. And Leah, tell them what to do.
Fuck your day up. Make today your bitch. Don't be a dick. Bye.
Okay, guys. We'll be back on Friday. See you then. Bye.
Read me romance. Read me romance.